Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. When anyone goes to speak, if you could go ahead and leave your mics on mute until it's you wish to speak, and that way it'll keep from having any background noise and interrupting the audio recording on here. If we're going to run this just like we would if everyone was in this room, if you'd please stand and join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So just as a reminder that we know that when one person is speaking, there's a little bit of a time delay by the time that someone completes speaking. And so anybody wants to respond, just give it a second or two, let it pass, let it clear through, and then go ahead and continue to speak. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and start off with item number three, discussion with for possible action. This is approval of the agenda for April the 21st, 2020. Mr. Osborne, do we have any changes to make to today's agenda?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we do. We would like to continue items number 10 and item number 12. They both pertain to the Roasting House first reading for business license to the May 5 Board of County Commissioners meeting. They are working under a temporary license right now and able to operate. There's just some final procedures to complete, according to the Sheriff's Office.
Very good. Thank you, Austin. Is there any public comment regarding these items to be continued off of the agenda? If there are no questions or concerns from fellow commissioners, if I can get a motion to approve.
I move to approve the agenda for April 21st, 2020, with the noted modifications.
Second.
It's been moved in second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Would you see if the big screen in the courtroom has...
She's muted.
Is that the judge?
She's talking to her staff.
Okay. Just had a little bit of a crossover there, so we'll continue on. This is item number four, discussion for possible action, approval of the special meeting minutes for March the 17th of 2020. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing no comments, if I can get a motion to approve.
I move to approve the minutes for March 17th.
Second.
It's been moved and second to continue the minutes, to approve the minutes of March the 17th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number five. It's today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, if I can get a motion to approve.
I move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second.
It's been moved and second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number six. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. I'll start at the top of the list here with the Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Antonoro. Do we have any representatives from the Sheriff's Office online today? All right, we'll move right along. Over at Public Works Operations, Mike Northand. Moving down the list, Community Chest and Library, Eric Schoen.
Yes, good morning. I will save my updates for the COVID-19 discussion.
Very good. Thank you. Our Justice of the Peace, Eileen Harrington.
I have no comments at this time. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. County Assessor, Janice Seddon. Thank you. County Recorder, Marnie Hansen-Martinez.
Nothing to report. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Marnie. For those of you that are in attendance with that are on Zoom, I can go ahead and see your photos or description. So I'll go down the list because if there's just phone numbers up there, I can't decipher who they are. So. The V&T Railroad Commission General Manager, Elaine Spencer. Story County Senior Citizen Center, Stacy York.
Yes, the only thing I have is on Nevada Census. It is still census time, and takers are not allowed to go out due to what we're dealing with. But in order to be counted, you can still complete your census by going online, www.census.nv.gov, or you can call the 1-800 number, which is 1-844-330-2020, or mail in your questionnaire. And that's all I have.
Can you remind us on what the deadline date was for the census to be completed?
They moved it. And I want to say it's in June now.
Okay. And watching the president, I think he was talking about having it extended as well because he doesn't think that the states are going to have ample time to complete the census by the deadline.
No.
Okay. Thank you, Stacy.
Thank you.
The Lockwood Senior Center, Beth Kemp, are you online? Since we're talking about Lockwood, do we have anybody on the line from Lockwood at the down there with the LLC or RSVP or any of the other people who are living there that represent the Lockwood area? All righty. We'll move along. Director of IT, James Dean. Public Works Director, Jason Wurzbeski.
Nothing new today, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Jason. Labor Relations, Jeannie Green.
Nothing to report, thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie. Administrative Assistant and HR Director, Jen Chapman.
Good morning. Nothing new to report. We just continue to follow CDC guidelines for protection of personnel through different cleaning measures, social distancing, encouraging remote work or telework with the different department heads and eligible staff. And we are just continuing to meet all the necessary requirements and keep everybody safe.
Very good. Thank you, Jen. Director of Communications, Dave Ballard.
Good morning. Nothing to report today. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. The Director of Tourism, Denny Dotson.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'll hold my comments for the agenda item.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Denny. Community Relations, Laura Mather.
Nothing at this time.
Thank you, Laura. All of our fresh and wastewater projects, all things water. Mike Nevin, are you online today? All right. County Fire Marshal and Community Development Director, Martin Azevedo.
Good morning, sir. Just a couple things regarding some of the projects that we have going out there. We're continuing to doing our inspections. Most of the inspections are being done remotely with FaceTime or photos or video. inspections, and those are going pretty well. Permits, we're still continuing to close out permits that were on some of the existing projects, and just also to report that the different projects out there and companies out into the industrial park are taking their precautions regarding testing people as they come into their facilities due to the COVID. They're doing temperatures, and some of them are going above and beyond the CDC guidelines at this point. And that's all I have, sir.
Very good. Do the commissioners have any questions for Jason? Or excuse me, for Martin?
No questions.
No questions.
Okay. Going along now, the Department of Emergency Management, Joe Curtis.
Thank you. Pretty much I'll reserve my comments for the agenda item. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Joe. The Planning Department, Kathy Canfield.
Nothing from the Planning Department today. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Over at the Comptroller's Office, Jennifer McCain.
Good morning. I just wanted to let everybody know the tentative budget was submitted to taxation, and they're currently reviewing it with us. And next week we'll begin planning on the changes before the final budget and meeting with our team to get with any adjustments that need to happen for the COVID event that we're going through. As well, we have our new employee, Sabrina. Some of you have met her. She's learning everything that we're throwing at her, so we have high hopes that things are going to start to be a little less stressful over here.
Very good. Commissioners, have any questions for Jennifer?
No. Thank you for the update, though.
Fire Chief Jeff Nevin.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick thing. We're business as usual here at the Fire District with some minor changes and implementations for some safety precautions for the employees. Our call volume has dropped off a little bit, but we're still ready and able and working with the team to make sure we're all responding appropriately to COVID-19. That's all I have. If you have any questions.
Very good. Fellow commissioners, have any questions for Jeff?
No, Chairman.
No questions.
Thanks, Chief. District Attorney Langer?
Nothing at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ann. County Manager Austin Osborne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I only have one thing. I just want to welcome Martin Azevedo as our permanent Community Development Director and Fire Marshal. He'll be serving both of those roles. Congratulations, Martin.
Thank you, Austin.
All right. Fellow commissioners, have any questions for Austin?
No questions, just echoing the sentiments to Martin. Sorry, Lance.
No, that's all right, Carter. Lance here, and Martin, welcome aboard. I just think there wasn't a better choice out there in the world, and I'm so happy that you've got your hands on the deal, so welcome aboard.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Martin. Okay, moving along now to County Clerk, Vanessa Stevens.
Good morning. Sample ballots went out in the mail last week. Mail ballots are expected to go out the first week of May. If anybody has any questions about the process or their voter registration status, please don't hesitate to contact the office. That's it.
Great. Thank you, Vanessa. My fellow board members, have any questions for Vanessa? Okay, hearing none, we'll move along now to item number 7. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. I'll start with Commissioner Gilman.
I just have a question for everybody. I'm curious if there's been any signal from the governor's desk, and I haven't had any, about the opening or partial opening or thoughts for opening our state or county from Governor Sisolak. Is there anything out there at all?
Lance, it's my understanding that the governor was going to hold a press conference this afternoon. Originally scheduled, I thought, was for Thursday, but I heard yesterday that he was going to have a press conference today. So kind of look forward to hearing from him as well on what he has, if any, plans to reopen Nevada.
You know, it makes sense. I expected to hear something from him yesterday. And, of course, anybody, if there's any openings coming for any of our businesses, you don't walk in and turn the lights on Friday. You have a lot of preparation to do. So I would hope we'd hear from him in advance of the May 1st day.
All right. We'll move on to the vice chairman, Jay Carmona.
Nothing today, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. I just want to echo my sentiments and congratulate Martin as our new community development director. We had a lot of good candidates who applied and interviewed for the job, and Martin came out on top. So welcome aboard. I know you're going to do a fine job because it's shown by your past performance here with the county. So once again, congratulations. Welcome aboard. Moving along, Story County has been successful so far weathering the this COVID event, and so we hope everybody keeps up their you know, whatever needs to be done, whether it's their social distancing or hand washing, which we all have chapped hands now. So in the event, I'm one of those people that I'm not used to staying home as much as I have, and there's other people in the house that wish I would go out in the yard more. So anyway, I know that everybody's has trying times. You save up and you wait to go to the grocery store till you absolutely necessarily have to go, and that's what I've been doing. So I've been keeping my distancing is to a minimum, but there's just no way of avoiding going out. I mean, so anyway, let's hope this passes soon. Let's hope that maybe we'll get a heat wave and that'll help us, and we'll see what the governor has in store for opening up Nevada. With that said, let's go ahead and we'll move on to item number 8, discussion for possible action. Approval of letter to Story County residents and businesses regarding actions the county is taking to protect and assist its citizens during the COVID-19 emergency. Mr. Osborne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the opportunity for us to, you know, work with you in this. Really what the purpose of this agenda item is. It's just to provide a public information statement to our residences and our businesses across the county. There has been an ongoing effort with our team that we'll talk about in a moment on providing information to all regarding everything, a whole range of issues with the COVID-19 matter as far as emergency operation command, Fox County work.
Oh, wow. I'm having really bad vertigo.
What was that?
You're okay,
Emily? Okay. Continue on, Austin.
Okay. So regarding the whole range of everything that we'll get a chance to talk about here in a minute, but really this is just to let folks across the county know, you know, what we're doing as a team as far as the OC, the Clark County, how we're handling the situation.
Just announcing that over there.
Okay, let me interrupt you for a second. We have someone out there that still has a live mic. So if everybody would check to make sure that their microphones are muted, okay? Because it's bleeding over and it's interrupting the transmission, okay?
All right. You know, so how we're handling the situation, what we might do if there were to be a positive case in the county of COVID-19 at the moment, knock on wood, we're at zero. What resources and PIO information is out there and available for review, and just overall what our team is doing to provide opportunities and what opportunities are available to both groups. So is with your direction, Chairman and Board, we have kind of our whole team that has been working on this matter prepared to kind of give a little summary in the areas that we're working in. And then this will provide an opportunity for the board then to interact with those folks and make sure that that draft letter is in front of you, is in fact, you know, is complete, has all the elements of what we're doing, and to add anything that the board feels might be appropriate for that letter. And that would be a statement that would go out to the public in addition to some of the other PIO information.
Yes, Austin. Well, and it's a very well-written three-page letter here. There's an immense amount of information in there, And I know a lot of effort's gone into this, and I appreciate that, so that's well done. Go over and I'll ask Commissioner Gilman what his thoughts are on this letter. Okay, Lance, can you hear us okay? Okay, tell you what, let's go ahead and let's go over to Commissioner Carmona and we'll come back to Commissioner Gilman.
Pretty thorough when I read through it. You know, I don't have much to say, unfortunately, sir.
Okay, very good.
Are you there, Marshall?
Yeah, okay, we can hear you now, Lance.
Good. Yeah, I have not visited the letter yet. I may have overlooked it here in the process, but I'll catch up with you today.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, when you're ready, I'll kind of introduce some of the folks that have been working on our team who are prepared to speak, but everybody who's on the line with us, all our department heads, have been involved in this process and are welcome to chime in as well during and after the discussion if you so wish.
Okay, well, I'm thinking, Austin, if this is a letter that you wanted approved by the board today, perhaps you're going to have to read this letter to get the approval, since Lance hasn't had an opportunity to read it yet.
I'd be happy to.
Okay. Does that work for you, Lance?
Yes, sir. Fine.
Okay.
I'm having a signal problem in here, so I may be in and out. I'm not sure how stable this signal is today.
All right. If you lose the Zoom, you can always use the phone number. If you've got the phone number, you can dial in and just use your phone as well.
Will do.
Okay. So, Commissioner Carmona, are you good? Are you good with Austin reading the letter so that we can see if we can get an approval on this?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, Austin, I'm going to ask you to speak up a little bit since you're going to be doing a lot of reading here.
Okay, there may be a couple areas that you would like, I'll paraphrase. Unless you want me to read over www resources and those sorts of things. I'm assuming you can hear me just fine. I'm not having that system that I had last week. That was a little difficult.
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Correct. So essentially, I'll paraphrase some areas, but I will go ahead and read the bulk of it. That's really a letter just kind of summarizing to our community that we're communicating with state and federal agencies, local ELC teams, and the public. And remember that there'll be some folks talking like Joe Curtis after this letter that will elaborate, kind of discuss the reality of what this, you know, looks like. We're coordinating with health agencies and providers to manage planning and response. We're managing emergency declarations of FEMA and other funding opportunities. And then, of course, there is an emergency declaration by this board in the past as well. Coordinating the test station to be placed in Carson City for the region. There are federal delays and many resources are going to hot spots like New York. Joe will certainly elaborate on what the status of those are and what's going on. Story County has declared an emergency related to COVID-19, thus making it eligible for FEMA and other financial reimbursement and assistance. Our Story County office is open for business. The county services will remain open, but under the following limitations generally. Walk-in restrictions apply, hours are modified, and appointments are encouraged. Online phone and mail-in services are provided. Each call the offices for details. Online credit card processing fees are waived for water, sewer, and taxes. Some offices have drop boxes available. Call for availability. DMV is closed, and that's a statewide matter. Waivers for gender registration and renewals statewide are expected and actually are occurring. Water and sewer non-payment disconnects are altered for Virginia City, Gold Hill, and Silver City in Louis County. Certain court cases are postponed. Call the Justice Court at 847-0962 for information. Story County remains open with increased sanitation and social distancing measures, and contact the county manager's office with questions.
our HR team will elaborate a little bit on that in a moment. Can I open my business? Many local businesses have stayed open after the governor's closure of non-essential businesses by providing curbside pickup, takeout, online services, and other means of maintaining social distancing. We encourage this and have encouraged this. Home-based businesses may do the same, so long as they follow the governor's directives. There were questions about home businesses. Do they need to close? And it's pretty much the same rules as everyone else. If a business is considered essential and provides food supplies, fuel, power, such as those that try it, may remain open. We remind us that the industrial center provides us the food that shows up at our doorsteps and in our grocery stores, as well as the power that shows up at the light switch. If you are unsure whether your business can be open, we recommend you contact the Nevada Governor's Office of Economic Development at 687-9900. And there are also other resources posted on the COVID-19 webpage for this sort of thing. How will Story County help BC businesses recover? The Virginia City Tourism Commission is working with event managers to reschedule and avoid canceling as many BC events as possible. Our team is developing the marketing and event strategies to expedite recovery of the local economy following the COVID-19 map. Jenny will speak to that in a bit. The BCTC is preparing a marketing campaign focused on the Reno Sparks and Northern California regions following COVID-19 event, or at least the spring portion of it, and they're budgeting accordingly in the 2020-2021 budget. The BCTC is preparing an advertising event after COVID-19 to remind folks that Virginia City is open for business. He's even talking about beginning to elaborate on a potential block party that may not have vendors and sorts of things, really for the sole benefit and for participation of just local folks. Small Business Administration federal loans and grant assistance and means to navigate complex enrollments systems are posted on county COVID-19 website. I'll speak to this a little bit later when we do our presentation. What about our seniors? Stacy will elaborate on this, but in general, Story County Senior Services provides drive-through meal services and Meals on Wheels. Call 847-0957 for more information. Senior Services provides rides and run errands for groceries, prescriptions, and doctor's appointments. Call the same number for that. Our seniors are covered. Nobody is left behind. Community Chest, with Eric talking later, will talk about case management and counseling that he's offering through telehealth. Healthcare clinic is open Monday through afternoon, all day Wednesdays. I will let Eric do some adjustments to that that need to be made in the letter. Attendees are asked to call first if they feel ill, still providing food boxes through food pantries at the community center, and call 877-297-1267 for assistance. Where can I get information on our socials? The Story County team is communicating weekly and really daily, somewhat hourly, with community story planning, the school district superintendent's plan for community services around school closures, as well as the community at large. Story County Schools provides some of Nevada's top e-learning programs. Updates are available at Story County or www.story.k12.nv.us/Todd is online, and he does plan to speak a bit about that. And where do I report COVID-19 incidents? Residences, businesses, employees, and employers should report COVID-19 concerns to Carson City Health and Human Services online at 775-283-4789. There's also a website at gethealthycarsoncity.org/noble-coronavirus-2019/. Call anyone may call the county manager's office at that point. And so the point of the letter is just to let folks know about that, and then we do have the presentation and kind of a roundtable discussion with each of our team members that correlate to this letter, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay, Austin, are you looking for a motion on this first, or do you want to do the roundtable first?
I would ask if we would do the roundtable first. That'll give the board and the public a chance to kind of hear the, you know, multidimensional approach that's being taken to things, and then that gives the board a chance to amend the letter if you feel necessary.
Okay, very good. So then why don't we start it off with Joe Curtis, the Director of Emergency Management, to get us started on this. Okay, to discuss the EOC in the Quad County. Joe?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. I have a fair bit of information to run by you here this morning. At this point in time, the Quad County, that being Carson Douglas, Lyons, and Story, has a total of 61 cases reported over the long haul here. 46 of those cases are still active at this time. 15 show as being recovered. As of this morning, there are only 3 people hospitalized with the COVID-19 in hospitals in the Quad County area. And those 3 are all at Carson Tile Hospital. There have been no new cases reported in the Quad County over the period of time Sunday and Monday. So far we're looks like we're leveling out. And of course Story County is still at 0. And what are the reasons, you suppose, for that? There could be a number of reasons. I kind of think that the population in general, that our minimal population for one, is a factor. The fact that we've shut down effectively pretty much the whole community, being the whole community and residential areas having a significant tourism factor. There's no incoming tourists that could bring it into our community, so that's a factor. And then in some discussions this morning, I learned the possibility exists that, to our benefit, possibly that things like altitude and the dryness, humidity that we have may also have effects upon, to our benefit, I guess you could say. And also, again, the cooperation of all our county residents has made a significant difference, I think, in the fact that we only have 0 actual cases within our county itself. The regional hospitals, as of yesterday afternoon, were reporting only a 45% occupancy rate, and ventilator usage, which has always been a big factor in the course of this incident, are only at about a 23% usage factor. Should we have an actual case that would come into Story County that would be one of our residents, there is a couple of things in place that will occur. One, we actually have an infectious disease plan that we put into place shortly before this incident actually came to being. And if we have that person that would be isolated or quarantined to a residence within our own county environment, that person would be tracked by both the Quad County Health and Human Services from Carson City, as well as the state health officials. And those people would be contacted twice a day to determine the status of their health and to ensure that they are maintaining their isolation and quarantine factor. Should they not be participating in that, and a couple of the counties have had some minimal problems along that line, things can happen along the line of getting court orders to require people to stay in their homes if they have active COVID-19 symptoms and are a proven case. That would only be the time that sort of thing could happen. As we move forward through the course of this incident, as it continues, we're looking at the point in time when maybe vaccinations would be available. Should that be the case, we would operate a plan where points of distribution would take place in various parts of the county where those vaccinations would become available. Each county would likely set these up within their particular communities or counties to accomplish that. As we have been going through this since approximately the 27th of February, we have maintained daily communication with the Quad County Emergency Operations Center, the Carson City Health and Human Services, the State Department of Emergency Management, and various federal levels and other resources that we work with and then are involved with. And one instance being the involvement with the National Guard and dealing with the warehousing that Tesla has so graciously made available for the state to be able to store supplies coming in to keep the state supplied with personal protective equipment for the frontline people, the hospitals, the EMS personnel, doctors and what have you, that sort of thing. Last Friday, the Quad County Emergency Operations Center pushed out a public service announcement that features Chairman McBride and representatives from each of the other three counties, Carson City, Douglas, and Lyon, to enlist the continued cooperation of our Northern Nevada and Quad County residents for social distancing and other prevention activities. The possibility for implementation of a plan has been discussed to continue limited congregation, limited numbers within a business environment, maybe based on square footage factors, maintaining the social distancing, use of masks, washing hands often, and use of hand sanitizer might be able to be something that could be accepted by the many small businesses in the Quad County area. Because I know they just want to be able to make a living and try to get back to getting the local economy going with their assistance. So we're starting to see a little bit of a slowdown. And if we work at that slowdown in various ways, then we will definitely make progress and the slowdown will increase. One of the things that the federal government has talked about and the things that we're going to be looking at is community-based 1% testing for the four county area, each of the counties. The Quad County Multiple Agency Coordination Group, which is the four county emergency managers, have met to begin planning processes for accomplishing this phase when we get to that. Yesterday, on Monday, the Quad County planning began to accomplish the 1% testing plan for the four counties that the feds are requiring us to do. That planning will continue on today, and we'll be looking at ways to accomplish that. Of course, the sooner this is done, the sooner we can better look at the various economic factors of certain things. The State Department of Emergency Management has hired a private contractor to facilitate the testing plan for the state, and have hired them so that he's an individual that actually put the plan in place for the state of Florida for their community-based testing. And we've been sent a copy of what's called the playbook of how to do that. And it's written in such a way that it can be enlarged or reduced depending upon the size of a given community or county. I particularly have laid out a basic plan for how we would accomplish this testing within Story County. And as soon as the other counties have generated their plan, then we will all congregate together by internet, as we've been doing on a daily basis, and integrate them to get moving on this 1% testing for the Quad County, which will help put us into a better place to do things down the road to get back into full operation. You know, preparedness for such an event from the standpoint of Story County and the four county, Quad County areas began nearly 10 years ago. And it began with the recognition of the H1N1 virus and the various flus and other outbreaks, you know, that we've been seeing and thinking about in these infectious disease factors over the last number of years. Sure, as I mentioned, shortly before the COVID-19 vote, we just completed our infectious disease plan for Story County. So it worked out pretty well. Based on that plan, we are at stage 4 of a 5-stage factor in that plan. The 5th stage would be what we would do and how we would react and function should we have an actual case or more than one case that is actual residents within the county. What happens with determining who's where is when a person comes down with a positive case of COVID-19, it's logged down by the state Board of Health or the state health department based upon the residence in which they live in, what county they live in. So they could work any place, but if they live in County X, then it's credited to that county where they're maintained in isolation. So when we get things together here and our plan within it's in place and so forth, we will coincide with the other three counties and get to really look more closely at how we're going to deal with various sundry things that may come down the road. Last September of 2019, Story County conducted what was called a Casper survey. And some people out there may remember us going through the county and all five districts of the county and surveying the people to ask about their degree of preparedness as well as any sort of health issues that they might have should they be evacuated to an area. This was called a Casper survey, and it was funded by and organized by the Carson City Health and Human Services Planning Section, who has been designated by the state health department to assist Story County during the course of this COVID-19 virus situation and provide us with the backup as a health organization for us. We had gone around that Casper survey. We had to interview about 200 or about 20% of our residents. And we asked 20 various questions relating to the preparedness and for emergencies. And we were amazed to see that a vast majority of these people we talked to were really quite well prepared and quite knowledgeable of being prepared and how to prepare for any sort of one of the disasters that we deal with through our hazardous mitigation plan, which could be fire, flood, earthquake, wind, snow, and what have you. Then during National Night Out last spring, we conducted what's called a point of distribution exercise, where we actually handed out bottles of water to each person visiting that event in the park. This was to simulate a point of distribution where inoculations might be given for an infectious disease. And we now know how to do this and how to do it well and where to do it within the county locations should it become necessary in the near future. Both of these exercises were very successful, and we're fortunate to be able to accomplish them. During this 2019 event, we've been monitoring and forwarding out daily information releases from the Quad County Emergency Operations Center, located at Carson. The information is correlated by the Joint Information Center, then distributed by the EOC in Carson, and then we pump it out to Ronnell, to wherever else we need it to go, all of our employees and so forth, because it is all public information. Story County participates in that information function in our county briefings and discussions. Our sessions during the week of the are of great value to the department heads, I think, and others involved in the oversight of dealing with this incident and story. We're also on a daily basis and sometimes nearly hourly basis adding information to the county webpage to keep our residents informed on a myriad of matters relating to this, giving them resource information of where to go for what one thing versus another, or assistance that they might need about various sundry things. Emergency management maintains close coordination with the senior centers, the public works, the fire, EMS, sheriff departments, and the various coordination efforts. And it's been working very well. Tremendous cooperation between all of the organizations. Coordination of the resource acquisition has been ongoing to obtain public or personal protective equipment for our fire and EMS personnel and the sheriff deputies for when they respond to incidents. Acquisition of hand sanitizer, surface sanitizer, and masks for our county personnel has been with the assistance of Public Works and the fire department to get all of this stuff and stockpile it for our personal and county uses. We're currently in very good shape for all our personal protective equipment. We have plenty of sanitizer materials, plenty of masks, and so forth, and we report to the state daily as to how much of that stuff we're using on a daily or weekly basis. Carson City Health and Human Services was permitted and designated by the Nevada State Health Department to consolidate Story County into the Carson City Health and Human Services system along with Carson City, Douglas, and Lyon. I would propose that we have some discussion in the future with County Manager Austin Osborne and the County Commissioners to look at the potential of becoming more formally involved with the Carson City Health and Human Services to provide us with health services as they've been doing during the course of this emergency. This would put us all on the same page and of equal standing with the Quad County in terms of health management and further round out the Quad County Coalition Group on a regional basis. We just kind of started that discussion when this whole thing hit, and so it's kind of been tabled, but I think it's, when this all settles down, we should get back to that discussion, I think. But just a quick little blurb here about some history of this Quad County, so some of the people out there may a little better understand what Quad County is all about. And about 10 years ago, Carson City, Douglas, Lyon, and Story formally formed what we call the Quad County Multi-Agency Coordination Group. This was because no one of our counties had all the resources to deal with any number of potential emergencies that affect our counties, along with earthquake, fire, flood, winter storms, and now infectious diseases. And it kind of got started real early in 1994, when we needed help and all four counties needed to have the resources to respond to hazardous materials incidents. And that Quad County portion of it still exists and functions to this day. The four counties are working together ever since. We've trained together, we've commingled our emergency plans, we've collaborated to be able to handle any of the potential regional disasters or emergencies that now include infectious disease responses. The 2020 National COVID Infectious Disease Emergency is unique to emergency management, and it's caused us to come together as a four-county regional coalition and manage this disaster as a four-county region. We've now been formally recognized, actually, as the Quad County Multi-Agency Coordination Group, and since late February, we have been virtually tied to the hip managing this incident for our region. The four county emergency managers form a group that oversees the regional or the Quad County Emergency Operations Center and participate with that on a daily basis with an 11:30 a.m. conference call that we have every single day. So we've had to, in that period of time, we have developed both declarations of authority and cost-sharing agreements, and those things are, for the most part, in place. So currently, we have adequate supplies to what we're dealing with. We've got plenty of masks, hand sanitizer, and so forth. But as things slow down, we don't want to slow down in our efforts to try to flatten this line on this and get a handle on everything and get rid of this COVID-19. We're looking at a potential plan for going together of the four county and purchasing a fair large amount of supplies that we would maintain in a Quad County stockpile for the future. So that should this sort of thing happen again or any other kind of disaster, we wouldn't have to play catch up as we've had to do with competing for supplies from the state or from donations. We would have our own and have our own storage area. And I'm assured that we could find available storage areas, probably within Story County, to store the Quad County's emergency supplies. So hopefully this provides you with a good overview of the kind of the who, what, where, when, and how of what we've been doing to manage this COVID-19 emergency within Story County and in conjunction with the Quad County Multi-Agency Coordination Group. So where do we go from here? It's not over yet. Continuation of planning. Safety of our county personnel is imperative. Maintaining appropriate safety supplies. Developing plans to get our community businesses back open. Planning for a full recovery of our county business and tourism. Planning for resilience for the future. And how do we make this easier or mitigate such an event next time around? I think I know how. By working together as a team, just as we've been doing for the last 2.5 months, and been doing so successfully since mid-February. And the inception of this particular declared emergency, with both the interest of our residents, our businesses, our economy, and our employees in mind. So if anyone has any particular questions that they would like to address to me, that kind of completes my general overview.
Thank you, Joe. That was very informative. It wasn't brief. It wasn't a briefing by any means, but it was a great report.
I was taught by Mike Devon.
So anyway, my fellow commissioners, do you have any questions for Joe?
Chairman, I do not. I'm very glad to hear that the Quad Counties have been working so well together, and I'm very glad to hear that we're going to be stockpiling some supplies for ourselves and the other three counties for any future events. So thank you for that, Joe.
Welcome. Thank you.
Commissioner Gilman?
Yeah, I'm just I'm reading that the governor's not anywhere close to opening our state in medical professionals. I just received information are recommending maybe a shutdown through the end of May or longer. And they can't see the end of this epidemic. So important, Joe, and all of us, that we hunker down and keep our act together and keep our folks safe. But I don't think there's any relief coming, at least what I'm seeing right now in this report I'm looking at.
Thank you, Lance. Any other county officials or directors have any questions for Joe? All right, then. We're going to move along now, and next up we're going to have both Jen Chapman and Jeannie Green go ahead and discuss our HR and internal IEPs and protective measures. So which one of you two want to start off? How about Jen Chapman? How about you start us off?
Sounds good. As you were kind of notified, county services are remaining open, but there are some kind of changes that we have implemented, including walk-in restrictions. We're trying to minimize the amount of traffic within the building. Hours to individual offices are modified. And we are encouraging any member of the public to make appointments if they need to do business with some of these individual departments. Each office has to be treated kind of separately due to the nature and whatever services they offer to the public. So don't want to go into too many of those. We might be here till 4 o'clock p.m. tonight if I kind of do that. But We posted a lot of information for how to contact us, of course, if anybody in the public has any questions about any of these hours or services that are offered, we just ask them that they contact us, and we will make sure that we can try to help them as best we can. We are continuing to take enhanced cleaning measures, social distancing, kind of spacing people out, as I said before, encouraging remote work or telework when that's an option. Some offices, there have restricted services like DMV, that is not open right now. We're still taking any sort of funds that need to be paid, any sort of bills. We're waiving late fees. So there's a number of different things that we're doing. And also for the people that are here, we're making sure that they have those protective measures that they need through personal protective equipment. And we have face masks for employees and are continuing to provide those as needed, working with Joe and the emergency management team. And cleaning, encouraging people to continue washing their hands and taking all the measures that we hear about every single day. But outside of that, I think that's it. Just if anybody has any questions, to contact the office.
Very good. Thank you, Jen. And fellow commissioners, do you have any questions for Jen?
Chairman, I do not.
Thank you, Jay.
No questions.
Very good. Is Jeannie Green still in the meeting?
I am. And I think that Jen covered that very well. I don't have anything to add.
Very good. All right. Thank you, Jeannie. All right. Let's move along now, and we'll ask Denny Dotson to go ahead and come up with a plan here for business recovery and tourism.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chairman, yeah, for the record, Denny Dotson here. You know, folks, out of all the economic drivers that we have out there in the world and even here locally, tourism is one of the biggest, one of the most influential. And to hear a lot of my fellow destination marketing organizations across the country and here locally look at cutting 85 to 90% of their budget because they're wholly based on lodging, it's tough to hear. And fortunately for us, we have quarter cent sales tax built into our revenue. And with that gives us a little bit of a reprieve. We've had a kind of a windfall over the last few months with the zip code change, and we've been able to put that away for a rainy day. This is our rainy day. Here last, actually in March, we had presented a $1.8 million plus budget. That's what you commissioners approved last month. We all know that's not reality. We've gone back with my staff, some BCCC commission members, and then recently spoke with Austin and Jen Chapman there, the comptroller, and we've whittled it down considerably. We brought it closer to a $1.2 million. We still think that we were able to, at this time of what we know, able to still do business. We're not looking at any layoffs, and we're protecting the vital marketing pieces that got us to where we are today over the last 10, 12 years. Our focus is going to be regional. It's going to be hopefully still with events. I'm curious to see what the governor does. You know, we're hearing things that events could be restricted for a little bit longer than just opening up the state, and that would be devastating for Virginia City. So we're paying very close attention to that. But our focus will be on our local residents, our local merchants, what we can do for them, and basically would be a more of a virtual tourism, if you will. Now, that doesn't necessarily pay the bills. We still have to get people here. But until we open up the doors, obviously, we can't get too carried away. But we have trimmed back all of our non-essential spending and got it back down to where we were probably about 4 years ago is about where we came in. And again, this is the back to basics. We're talking small ball now. We're hitting home runs, but that's not in the cards right now. So we're back to small ball, and we will get it back. But it's going to take some effort. I have reached out to all the events, speaking of those, the major players that we have, and there's really we have small car show, the Women with Wheels, and we have Randy Burke with Street Vibrations Spring Run still kind of holding on. We haven't made a decision yet with Memorial Day Parade, but it sounds like that will be tough to keep. But outside of that, we have spoken with all the rest of the big events, promoters, including actually Liquid Blue, our partner, as well as, the Civil War, the Hot August Nights. Keeping close contact with all the folks that bring up events to Virginia City. And so far, we're hanging on. And we rescheduled a couple of our big ones for the fall. I'm hoping that the governor will look at loosening it up for rural tourism. It's different than the big city life type concerts and events they have. And, we're more open air. We can spread it out as wide as we need to. And I hope that's the direction that we go, because it will be the lifeblood of our small community, where we would survive, certainly, but it would be very devastating. And maybe even if we were to take events out of the tourism budget, it wouldn't affect our department immediately, but it would be devastating for merchants and then subsequent revenue generation with the quarter cent sales and the lodging would be affect us. So it's a very critical time for us right now, and I hope that I'm sure that he is taking everything into consideration. Some things we want to do going forward is we're going to start scheduling out some time, like we're doing here with the commission meetings and our tourism meetings with the merchants. I think it's important to keep, in communication with them on what their struggles are, where we can help them. I'm seeing some stuff on our Facebook merchant page now that very few merchants were able to successfully obtain any type of loan or relief type assistance. So Not that we could do anything, but maybe answer some questions. I don't know if there's something that the county can help there with that, or if we had a liaison to help answer, or an information person versus just a call-in or a link that just doesn't go anywhere. It's frustrating for a lot of people right now, so that might be something we can talk about. But I think just having some more of these type town hall meetings would be good with the merchants. A Zoom call was mentioned by Rad. It might be something we could do with the Merchants Weekly for a while, just to kind of, again, just gather input, what we can do to help them. A lot of our marketing focus will be on them. Austin kind of mentioned a welcome back party. If we can do that, you know, there'll be obviously some limitations, but that's exactly what we want to do. We want to focus on how we can help our local merchants, the bottom line right now, and some type of a street party, street dance, you know, concerts, what have you. But again, it's going to be a very interesting time for us. But we do have a little indie fund balance, and I'm very fortunate to have a commission, both from the BCTC and the county, that understands the importance of tourism and what it can do for the bottom line. The general fund, we don't pull from it, but we contribute to it when we spend our money right, and that's a good combination. Again, as long as they allow us to work, we should be moving the needle in a positive direction. Outside of that, commissioners, I don't really have anything else to. We're just kind of on standby, waiting for what the governor says, and once we get some direction, then we can plan, make decisions accordingly. Unless Austin maybe has something else to add to that.
Okay. Thanks, Eddie.
Go ahead, Chairman.
I was asking my fellow commissioners have any questions for Denny.
Yeah, I do. I do, Marshall. I'd be curious if we could poll our C Street merchants for as many as possible and develop an idea of how many are having access to the federal funds that are coming out, and especially this next round. But I'd be very interested in are we seeing the money flow to help our group? I'm in touch daily with our delegation in Washington, D.C., and I'd love some factual information to share along the lines of are we seeing money in Story County.
I will go to work on that.
Thank you.
Very good. Commissioner Carmona?
No. You know, obviously, I think we're all on pins and needles waiting to see what the governor officially says. If what Lance says is right, I don't know. I think the county needs to put its thinking cap on and, just make sure we're doing the best for Story County. That's all I have.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Jay. Yeah, as we see by holding these meetings, these virtual meetings using the Zoom service, Denny, that going forward, it might be a good way of getting more of the merchants to participate so they don't have to leave their place of business or their residence to all, you know, to commingle in a building to have a meeting. That this might be the new forum to use going forward, you know, for to getting more information.
Well, I think to enlarge on that a little bit, Denny, it'd be nice to know, have they applied and have they been successful and what percentage?
One thing I'd like to add in this, when Eric Schoen speaks up, he has spent quite a bit of time on going through this as a 501c3, and I think you'll be interested in his story. I appreciate that, Eric, if you can add that when you're up.
Yeah, and Lance, I would just further discrimination between the two loans. There's the PPP loan, the Paycheck Protection Plan loan, and the Emergency Injury Disaster Loan, otherwise known as EIDL. To know if they've applied for one or both.
Yeah, absolutely. I've made applications on a number of different businesses I'm associated with, and I'm having a variety of success one way or the other. But we could use some strong information from the county, I believe, right now.
Yeah. What might be an option is for us to send out a Zoom with those pointed questions on exactly what they've applied for, which ones, checkbox, and have some quick information. We could get that on the merchant page probably today. And I would think to get some good responses back pretty quickly.
Well, you
very
might.
Timely. Very, very timely.
Do you have a MailChimp account?
Exactly. Yeah, we have one.
I'm thinking that some of these people might want to respond to you confidentially because a lot of people don't want you, want other people to know what their business is. I mean, from past experience with the county, just doing surveys in the county, it's hard to get people to open up with information. So I would say, tread gently on this. So.
We can do that, Mr. Chairman, with an option for them to put their name on there or stay confidential.
All right. Thanks, Denny. Why don't we go ahead and we'll go to Austin now to discuss the overall budgetary considerations and the business recovery.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I think I would like to go after our Stacy Eric and our school superintendent.
Okay.
A couple things that I'm hearing I'm adding, so if you're okay with that, I'll just wait till the end.
Sure, okay. So, yeah. So we got Stacy York and Eric Schoen. Who wants to lead this off?
I'll defer to Stacy. Stacy, would you like to step up?
Yeah, sure. So Stacy York, for the record. Update on what's going on with senior services across the county. Meals on Wheels is now open to anybody 60 years of age or older. We want people to stay in their homes as much as possible. And both locations have that, so Lockwood and Virginia City area. So call Lockwood at 342-2840. Give them at least a 24-hour notice. We get our meals through WASHO, so it's a little more planning. In Virginia City area, just call the day before. We'll get you set up with what is needed. We are also offering drive-through meals at both locations, Monday through Friday, 12 to 1. This is open to everybody in the community. The only thing is that if you're 59 and younger, it's a $5 fee. 60 and over, it's a suggested donation. You don't need to pay, you don't have to pay. Come on through and we'll get you a meal. We also have food pantries in all three communities. Lockwood is open on Saturday. It's a drive-through system, 11 a.m. to 12:45. If you can't make it during that call, or I'm sorry, if you can't make it during that time, you can call. They also do delivery. Mark Twain is open on Saturdays by appointment. Beanie down there, Mark Twain handles that. You can call her at 775-241-0930. In Virginia City, we are also doing food bags. You can get them during drive-thru or call and ask for one. If any homebound seniors need them, we'll deliver them. There's no age restrictions on any of the food pantries. So food pantries will have increased how many people they're serving. We only served about 100 families before this. Now we're up to 250 families, about 600 individuals. If anybody's in need of case management, call either one of the sites and we'll help you as best we can over the phone. And there's also transportation in the Virginia City area. We can pick up prescriptions, grocery shop, doctor's appointment, whatever essential service is needed. And that's about it.
Well, thank you, Stacy. That's
a quarantined person. That was a senior. Some of these programs will be able to work for them too at their doorsteps. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. All food is being delivered. With no contact, so in a bag, either hung on a doorknob or handed to the person with a glove driver.
That's a terrific update, Stacy. Thank you. And the numbers are huge. It's incredible how many people you and your team are serving now. Incredible. Do fellow commissioners have any questions for Stacy?
Chairman, I just want to say, Stacy and your team down in Lockwood, Mark Twain and in town, amazing. 600 people being handled. I tip my hat to you guys. Great job.
Thank you.
I agree. Thank you, Stacy.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we'll switch over to Eric now.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I would like to echo that, Stacy. I am humbled by the sheer number of, the sheer increase in volume that you are serving. I think it accounts for why we are not seeing much for utilization of our own food pantry, because you've really become the recognized and trusted go-to place for all things food in the county, which is, I think, as it should be. You've got a better distribution network for that, so wow, nice work. Please pass on my regards to your staff, too. So I wish my update was going to be as quick and to the point as Stacy's, but we have several different services, so I will go through these. And I'm only doing this not for those who've been on the weekly calls, this will be a bit redundant, but for any members of the public who maybe haven't heard of this or received my weekly updates that I do to all of our all of the folks on our CCI mailing list. And if you'd like to be on that, let me know. For the record, Eric Schoen, Community Chest. So all of our counseling and case management services are now offered via telehealth. If somebody is not yet established with our counseling or case management services, they only have to call what we used to call our emergency counseling number line, but it's basically a 24-hour line that anybody can call at any time for any reason. I'll give that number here, 775-297-1267. Again, 775-297-1267. I know at this point in time, a lot of folks are just dealing with the immediacy of the moment, but what we expect, and I'm not alone in this, we expect after this immediate fiscal and health crisis, we will likely have an uptick, a big uptick in mental health needs and substance use disorder needs as well. And so we're anticipating that, and to the degree that we can meet those needs now, we're open for business and able to do that. Case management involves also connecting people with employment training opportunities. Most of those now are virtual, but if somebody is at home and they're unemployed and they're looking to do some retraining, it might be worth a call to our case management team to see what training programs might be available online to maybe complete a certification that would help that person to be more employable when the social distancing limitations are lifted. And then finally, as part of the case management portion of this report, we are really fortunate to have such great partners in Story County. We really look out for the community, and the local chapter of the Eagles reached out early and said, hey, what can we do to help? And I think some of you saw the email, the letter that came from Larry Prater. Basically, their chapter decided to support both community chats and the senior center to a tune of $1,000 per month for the next 5 months as a backstop to help continue providing the services. On our end of things, I assume on the senior center side of things, it's helping pay for food and staffing. On our side of things, it'll be solely reserved for folks who need help with rent or utility or any other sort of expense due to a loss of income. For example, the restaurant's not being open. So if somebody is finding that they're a little bit tight on money, please give us a call. We may not be able to help every possible need, but we will certainly do what we can to try to help meet the need with those funds. So thank you to the Eagles for being so proactive with that. In regards to our in-home family case management program, we are continuing to connect with parents who have kiddos 0 to 5 and basically need some additional connection and some additional, basically just, you know, hands-on work. We're continuing to work with them virtually and connect them virtually. We most recently, I think a couple of weeks ago, we had a virtual pajama party where everybody could come in and have a little bit of fun. So we are trying to make sure that we're connecting the folks emotionally and socially. Our youth programs, and that includes all of the elementary, before and after school programs, our early childhood education programs, such as our Cow Bus and drop-off child care center. We are offering all of our classrooms virtually, as well as some lesson planning, depending on those programs, so that parents can continue to use those lesson plans at home. We have daily, quote, brain breaks for the elementary and middle school students, where they can have an art lesson, a cooking lesson. And in fact, this whole last week, there were a series of challenges around Global Youth Service Day that are basically oriented around kindness, creating, making cookies and leaving kindness bags on on the porches of neighbors, doing service projects and posting what they're doing to improve their neighborhoods. But they are continuing that important work. Our library cards are still available. We're up to over 30 cards that have been issued online. So if anybody would like a library card that hasn't yet received one, you can go to our website and then click on the library and you'll find that link. Deborah Lesh-Griffin and myself continue to offer community resiliency forums, which were really geared towards, we thought, just residents who would need to connect emotionally and just talk about self-care strategies for making it through this time. And what we found is that it's been more of a forum for those who are helping others. Still, it's open to anybody and everybody. We hold this on every Monday, two sessions, 12:30 to 1, and one from 4:30 to 5. So if anybody would like to attend those, please feel free to reach out to me and we'll make sure you do that. Make sure you can connect. And then Austin, to your point about the health clinic, they are providing all of their services virtually as a way to reduce the possibility of unintentional spread. So at this point in time, the clinic in Virginia City is not open for walk-ins. To make an appointment, somebody would call the Nevada Health Centers at 1-800-787-2568. The good news about that, I mean, the bad news is there's no walk-in, but the good news is basically it's not restricted to Monday afternoons and Wednesdays only. It's basically whenever somebody might feel the need, Monday through Friday, they can call and make an appointment, and then they will be seen virtually either by Leslie or whoever else is available. And then a lot of our counseling services, sorry to return to that, are offered for free. We have several different grants. Oftentimes we can find a way to qualify somebody for those services, but also to any medical professionals or first responders who are needing some additional support, as well as all Story County school district kiddos and their families and all victims of violence. And then let me just see if there's anything else that I have overlooked. Our domestic violence advocacy continues, although it's been difficult with the social distancing requirements. They are continuing, our advocates are continuing to provide support, mentoring, education, including legal advocacy, emergency shelter, and more. We're working closely with local deputies and community health workers. Let's see. And I think that brings everybody up to speed. We also, our case managers will be able to help people with unemployment filings if they're having difficulty and don't know how to get through all of that. Simply call that emergency counseling number that I mentioned earlier, and one of our case managers will help the person to walk through that. As well, we are looking at follow-up on what Stacy said regarding the 2020 census, helping to provide support to those who are having difficulty filling out their census forms. They can call to have one of our case managers work with them to fill that out. And I think that catches everybody up. Just as a reminder, again, if you would like to receive updates from me directly, I try to do a weekly newsletter providing these updates so folks are kept in the loop. And that's all I have, Chairman.
Very good. Thank you. So well done there, Eric. I mean, we know that your plate is extremely full too. And you guys are doing a terrific job down there. So thank you for everything that you and your team are doing.
Sure, you're welcome. And actually, I have an update on the loan. I know the last time we spoke at our weekly group, I reported that I was not successful in either of the loan products. We were approved for an emergency economic injury disaster loan, EIDL. So we were approved for that, which should give us enough breathing room to make sure we can get through this and prevail and continue to provide these services for people.
It's been my understanding that 501c3s have been receiving some funds, but 501c3 4s and or 501c4s and 6s have not. So I know people in the hospitality industry, some have received funding and some have not. And doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason, either that or they're just because they're out of funds currently. I'm not sure.
I certainly wasn't expecting it. It was good news to hear that we were approved.
That's good. Okay. Fellow commissioners?
Chairman, Jay Carmona here. Just wanted to say the same thing to Eric and his team. Outstanding job. You guys are obviously essential to the community, so thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Carmona. I appreciate it.
I sure agree. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Take care. Okay, why don't we move on to Story County Superintendent of Schools, Todd Hess.
Well, thank you, everyone. It's great to see and hear your faces. I haven't seen you guys for quite a while. I never thought I'd say that about Dave Ballard, but even Dave, good to hear from you, buddy. The last day we were in school, the Story County School District was March 13th. And,
Todd, could I get you to get a little closer to the microphone?
I'm sorry, Marshall. Is that better?
Well, either closer or louder, one of the two.
Okay, I can get louder. Last day we were in school was March 13th. Like Marshall and Lance echoed earlier, we're anxiously awaiting the governor's announcement, I feel like at some point this week, about giving the deadline of returning for us to be Monday, March 4th, or extending that. I don't know if anyone that's listening here has much confidence that
May 4th.
That May 1st date will occur. A couple of weeks ago, we were called by Governor Sisolak, all the state superintendents were, and I was pretty proud to report to him that Story County was the first public district to send home laptops and Chromebooks to every single student K-12. The other thing, so we're not just distance learning, we're digital learning. Our staff has done a really good job of getting contact with each and every student. You know, I think I've reported this before, but every one of our students has access to the internet. That's something that we didn't have a couple of years ago. That's been a lot of hard work by a lot of really good people in Story County, so I want to congratulate all that. We can truly go digital with our learning and still offer a world-class education to our Story County students. Our transportation department is also looking to serve Story County in any capacity that they can. They're up here on site all day, and if Story County has any need for any resident anywhere in the county, from Painter Rock to Gold Hill, then we'd like to be able to help them out, just pick things up or drop things off. Also, our counselors and social workers, they're doing a really good job of staying in touch with all of our Story County students and looking to maintain those relationships that are so important to get them through. Kind of on a quick sideline, if the May 4th deadline is extended for any reason, that will end spring sports for the rest of the season. Again, that's probably not much of a surprise. One of the things, you know, looking at with the return to schools is there's no question that as businesses look to reopen, that's probably when the schools are looking to reopen too. We are daycare for America's workforce, and just kind of interested to see what the governor's guidance will be on that. We're going to make sure if we go through the end of the year that all students keep their laptops and Chromebooks throughout the summer, and we're going to continue learning. The goal is we want the kids to be able to hit their marks where they're supposed to be by mid-August, and by doing some summer bridge learning programs, I think we could, you know, help achieve that. You guys have heard the same thing with budget cuts. We just had to turn back about 4% of our budget for the rest of this year. The big one is next year. There's a potential for a 10% budget cut, and that's assuming we go back to work sometime today. We've put up a hiring freeze for all non-essential personnel, including teachers, and then we're holding the line on large capital projects. Austin and Keith Lewis and I have been in discussion here for quite a while, and we're doing some really exciting things that I think will be of mutual benefit to both Story County School District and Story County. We'll offer more details as that comes up, but we'll talk more with our capital improvements meeting this Thursday, and we're working on a couple of interlocal agreements again that I think will directly benefit both the county and the school district. Not too much left to talk about. One of the things that sort of jumped out last week is we've been staying pretty close in touch with our senior class. You know, they've been on our mind a lot. We have scholarships. They have a big transition to go through this year, so we've been doing weekly go-to meetings with them. Something that came up last week, Leslie did a little half movie, half video on it, but it sort of, what struck me was, I don't think we're going to have a regular graduation in the traditional sense that we've had in the past, and I just don't see, in talking with the seniors, them wanting to come back in, you know, in September or something. So what we proposed last week was a Comstock-style graduation. And that's where we show up at Virginia City High School, in the back of your car, your truck, on a trailer spread out. You'll have the national anthem sung by Juliana Carmona and her choir mates. We have a regularly scheduled speaker. And then go drive out in your vehicle onto the football field. Go reach into an org cart, grab a diploma, take a picture, come back out onto R Street, or what we call Old Town Road, that's a little graph. And from there, as Esme knows recently, the best thing about winning a title isn't the time when you win the title, it's about getting a fire truck ride down Main Street. So that's what we like to give the seniors, and they're actually pretty excited about that possibility on Saturday, June 6th. With that, we're going to show you our learning logo real quick. We're kind of proud of it. Hopefully you'll like it. So that's the learning logo that we came up with. We'll stick with that all year. Definitely got the Story County Comstock sort of tradition on it. And stay strong, stay story. With that, I'd like to thank you all for your time and open up to any questions that you might have.
I think I recognize that mine there, Todd. But anyway, yeah. So anyway, thank you for your update. I'm hoping that the governor calls it all clear pretty soon, because it would be nice to have a traditional graduation for your seniors down there. But you'll just do whatever you have to do to make it, you know, to make it go off. But I kind of like the idea of everybody showing up in the back of their pickup truck too. That's I think I would have looked forward to that myself. So my fellow commissioners, have any questions for the superintendent?
Chairman, you know, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but, you know, both my kids are in high school, and so I see the effort put forward by the school district, and I just wanted to say thank you very much. Obviously, it's a historic time. Nobody, you know, has a playbook on this, but I've been very pleased with the Story County School District's reaction thus far. So thank you.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman?
Yeah, my only comment, Marshall, is I received a report here during the last half hour or so that the Florida schools have closed for the balance of the school year. And I believe that's a recent communication.
Okay. Thank you, Lance. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Superintendent. So I'll go back to Austin Osborne again now. He's got a full report for us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pretty much what you see here in this setting is it's all our team. You know, every one of us have been involved in one part or another of this event. And I think the best thing is when it really comes time for me to speak, I'm going to kind of talk about a few things here, but it's pretty much all said. It's pretty much all done. Every one of us are, you know, our core team on the emergency management side, on our HR side, on our economic side, our commissioners, the three of you have been very supportive, and the folks off the hill like the Quad County folks. It's just been wonderful to work with, and it really is the only reason all of us working together is that our county is safe no matter what happens. A couple things I'm just going to touch on, and I might ask Eric if he would share with me when it gets to the economic development of the SBA area, because I know you've had some specific experience with them. Ultimately, you got what you needed, but the amount of work you put into it was incredible. And I know, Lance, you and your team had a very similar experience. The county as a whole, you know, we've
Our goal has been to remain open for business, and provide county services, but at the same time make sure that our community is safe, our employees are safe, those folks that, you know, have various situations that need to be addressed are. And so we really are in kind of a unique situation, like Jen talked about earlier, having everything from sanitation stations to limited hours to individualized employment plans and a host of other things to try to keep ourselves open and make sure that we know that we can stay open through the whole duration of this emergency. And again, it's been all of our team has been able to pull that together. The county's also done things like forgiving rent for its businesses that it has. It is a landlord, and this is in accordance with the recommendations of the governor, and it's also similar to what's happened throughout town with some other landlords. We have waived certain fees, and we have looked at ways to lessen impacts on folks, like waiving any disconnects for water and sewer, and for late payments or no payment. We can always circle back and come back to those at a later time. Our PIO efforts as far as the community on an hourly and daily basis throughout every day. Our website is updated religiously. Our social media, I would like to add that Linnell and her VAD team is on with us. Welcome her to talk about what she's doing with us to try to keep things posted on a regular basis. I know all I have to do is I get something with it together, send it her way, and she modifies it so it's easy to understand. It fits well within the social media framework. And it's wonderful. I can't imagine what it would be like having to try to manage all this stuff on top of all the structural elements going on. Some of the things that are on our COVID-19 webpage as well as social media is a link to economic development. We try to get as much SBA information on there as possible. I can tell you at my office, and I know certain people on the phone with us today, it's a fire hydrant of information coming from the federal level, and you can't possibly absorb it all. But you can take it and summarize it and post some things. We have people like our quarter team that help us do this. NACO is helping do this. Our own internal team and I are doing some of this. We get that posted. And hopefully one or two or three of these sources or more are helpful to a business going onto our website, trying to get some personnel protection funding and other grant assistance through the SBA loans and forgiveness elements. So that is going on there. But the reality of it is a little bit different. I asked Eric if you'd like to talk a little bit about your experience for a moment.
Sure, I can do that. And then for Lance, please, yeah, I think you've been successful with the PPP fund, so I think you've got some really critical information to share as well. In terms of steps we took, we applied immediately back from the moment that we could back towards the end of March, middle of March, and these things started to open up. So the first thing we could apply for was the emergency injury disaster loan. And I'll just review each of these separately so that folks have an idea. With the EIDL, that's the acronym, with the EIDL funds, it's better to think of that as a line of credit if you are approved. So let's say you are approved for $200,000. You don't receive a lump sum of $200,000. What it is you draw down the funds as you need them. And so you're not immediately carrying a balance that's earning interest. The interest rate on these funds is 2.75% for nonprofits, 3.75% for for-profit businesses. And no payments are, and you have access to the funds for as long as there's an active disaster declaration that's in place. Once that disaster declaration is lifted, they'll close access to that, to those funds. And they will convert whatever the balance is. So out of that 200, if you only needed to borrow $75,000, they would convert that $75,000 into a 30-year loan to be paid back in installments. And there's no prepayment penalty. So if somebody were able to pay that back more quickly, then they certainly could. One thing that's changed with the emergency injury disaster loan is it used to be that the first $10,000 were forgiven. That has been increased to $15,000, meaning that if you only borrow $75,000, or that may be a lot of money, I don't mean to put that, those quotes around $75,000, but if you borrow $75,000, the first $15,000 is like free money. You're not expected to repay that, so you would end up having a balance of $60,000 that you'd end up owing afterwards. So the way to apply for those funds is you go through the SBA's actual portal. You go to the SBA website. There is a link to submit an application. I will say it's not terribly easy. I don't know that it's terribly difficult. It's just that there are required documents to prove that you're actually an entity, what kind of entity you are, maybe some tax filings that they'll want, maybe some annual returns, maybe some other sorts of records. The nice thing about the EIDL funds is that they can be used a bit more broadly than the PPP funds. So you can use them to pay for not only payroll, but also operating costs that aren't otherwise covered. So that's those are the EIDL funds. The PPP funds are more restricted towards payroll costs, although 25% of those can be used for operating costs. The nice thing about the PPP funds is that if you keep everybody fully employed for 8 weeks, then you can apply to have the entire amount that you spent out of whatever you were awarded. You can apply to have the entire amount forgiven. So it has a bigger threshold for possible the amount of loan monies that are forgiven, or maybe restrictive in terms of all the different costs it can pay for. In my experience, we were ready the minute our portal opened through Bank of America, because that's who we have a small business relationship. When that opened, the first Friday morning, I was on there bright and early. I filled out what I thought was needed, but at that point in time, it was very fluid. New rules were coming out. New documents were required to be uploaded. Long story short, in talking with others who have been successful in being approved, like Lance, Commissioner Gilman, and others who I know have small businesses, those who had a relationship with a smaller institution, where they had a personal relationship, somebody who I think would really sort of shepherd the application and pay attention to it. I think, and this is just anecdotal from my perspective, I think they may have had a better shot at getting those monies than those of us who went through a big institution like Bank of America because of that personal touch. And Commissioner Billman, I'll turn it over to you there if there's anything you'd like to add.
No, I think that was a great overview. I think the stress on the PPP loans is that 25% of the loan money can be used for mortgages, utilities. There's a list of other things that you can use it for and still be a forgiven loan at the end of the term. But otherwise, I thought Eric a great job on that. I do. I work with FIB, First Independent Bank, and they're one of the larger in the country. And I would tell you that at first we thought we lost the loan. The first emails we got said, I'm very sorry, it didn't work. And then the next email, and like you, there was a lot of paperwork and changes. I think we did three different applications before they got it right at their end. And of the four that we applied for, two slipped through, and we were successful. That's kind of why I'm encouraging everybody, and there with all of our... It appears to me right now, I just received from the president's desk new guidelines that were just issued today on the opening. And they're phase 1, 2, and 3, and they're still wanting the schools to remain closed through the second section. They're getting more money ready to release. They're trying to focus a bit more on small business, and that's why I'm hoping that we can help people on C Street maybe get ahead of this thing if they're applying, but I think they're going to focus this next round on very small business, and so great job on that, Eric. It's a complicated scenario, isn't it? But I think we can be successful in the second round. So keep your eyes open.
And I'm sorry. Thank you. One other piece of information to add. I didn't know if by accepting the EIDL funds that I would be precluded from also accepting PPP funds. That is not the case. So my advice would be to, if a small business is needing a lifeline, I would apply for both in the hopes that you might receive one of those. Receiving either of those does not preclude you, if you're ultimately successful with both applications, to accept both funds, and then you can decide which one is the better instrument to use for your particular needs.
The other thing I'll share here is, as our meeting has gone on this morning, I'm receiving a plethora of information, both from Washington and from the state. And to paraphrase everything that I'm reading here as we go along, we're going to be held closed longer than what I'd like to see, unless something dramatically changes at our governor's desk. But I think we're in for another full month, maybe, and maybe longer.
That's how I'm seeing it as well. And I would encourage people not to, I mean, they may think, oh, we didn't get our applications in, there's no way to be approved. Yes, it takes time, yes, it takes effort, but you know, it's like that old joke, you can't win the lottery if you don't buy a ticket. I would err on the side of getting those applications in, and then you have a chance.
Okay.
And we did, Eric, share your, if you're okay, Mr. Chairman, we did share your narrative, Eric, that you provided. You wrote it real common sense terms of, hey guys, when you're doing your loan application, you're going to go to this point, and then they're going to turn you around and send you to the back of the line because you have the wrong paperwork, so go over here, and then when you get halfway through that, go back over here. That was really helpful, and we did post that on our social media and our COVID page under the SBA section, so maybe somebody reading that kind of get that chance to not go to the beginning of the line and then end up at the end of the line again. So thank you for those sorts of communications.
Yeah, and honestly, I think because of that, I actually did receive a call from one of the business owners on C Street who was looking for some advice on how to proceed.
Great. Mr. Chairman,
if you're on here, if I may. Austin, one other thought, if I may, as we follow up on this. It's obvious now that anyone that's applying for unemployment insurance, they want to reapply every single week. Because what we're finding is, and what we've been advised by the Department of Employment, is that the rules are changing by the week. And so what wasn't approved last week will be approved next week, possibly. And so the recommendation is anybody applying, apply every week until you get through the number.
And you're aware now that unemployment and some of the state portals for these things are down or under construction, and some folks will send something as, well, this meter isn't working, you can't get in. The meter will say, well, it's the Secretary of State site. The Secretary will say it's meter. It's quite a complicated mess.
Been a pathetic, I think that's the word I wanted to use. It's just unreasonably challenged right now, and hard to believe, but I think they're learning a lot.
Okay, Austin, did you have anything to follow up on?
Yeah, I have one more item. It's just regarding our county budget, and our budget team is still working together. We're between tentative and final at this point, so adjustments are being made. The biggest key theme on this, I would say, is that we are going to end up with a balanced budget, and Jennifer's online. I certainly welcome her to chime in if she feels appropriate. You know, and the themes are as balanced, but just because it's budgeted, you know, we may look at keeping a budget with everything as we need, but our department heads are very prepared to say, yeah, we may not be spending that money on equipment or staffing or increases or, you know, or certain hiring, those sorts of things. We're going to do exactly what's going on, as Superintendent Hess talked about, as we know that's going on in our neighboring counties. It's going to be a similar type of environment that we'll be living in for the next year. We're being very careful and essentially freezing spending that isn't already in projects that are underway or things that are mandated. At this point, the stuff we're watching for is Danny had talked about with DCTC. There's special revenues in that fund that we're watching, and I know he and his team are working with ours on watching sales tax and watching room tax and looking at the cost of events and what may or may not happen with events. So that's a budget we're going to be watching very carefully in trying to promote the town, but also work within the money that we have. As far as the general fund, we're also going to watch, you know, sales tax, a lot of it generated from the industrial center. Those are essential business. There has not been major impacts there, but there may be, or there may be in the next year. So we're watching that. Property tax, we anticipate. Now, let's Vanessa speak to is what she feels appropriate, but there may be folks not paying the taxes for year one, two, and three. And even though we'll ultimately recover those funds, it could be a couple of years of having to tighten the belt and make sure that we're working within the funds that we actually have. Late tax payments are going to be something we're watching for. Permits and fees, we've got about $1.6 million that comes from permits and fees in the county that could be very heavily impacted by reduced construction and activity both out at Tri and outside of Tri. So, you know, those are the things we're looking at, making sure that we're working smart and keeping within the funds that we have and know we'll have.
Very good. Okay, so before I go ahead and call for a motion to approve the letter to be sent out to the residents, Austin, I'm going to open it up to see if there's anyone out there in our virtual audience that has any public comments. And if you have any public comments, if you'd go ahead and unmute your microphone, identify yourself for the record, and please speak up and speak clearly so that we can all hear you. Do I have anybody on the out there for public comment?
Hi, Marshall. This is Nicole Bard, Sperry County resident. I'd like to commend the team. This was a spectacular summary of what the activity is. And again, you know, everyone is just doing great, great work. I think the letter's very good. It's very clear. It's already long, but you may want to think about adding the, you want to maybe add that the VC dump is open and what the hours are and that it's free. And I think the comment about unemployment is very important. People that I've spoken with that have applied are getting dejected because they're not hearing anything back. And I think the comment made about applying numerous times because the rules are changing, maybe something worth saying in the letter as well. And so just as a reminder, I know you've got the link there to go to the unemployment office, but you may just want to help our folks understand, keep at it, rules are changing, do it weekly. I think Eric's comment about having that relationship with the bank is key. I mean, we're seeing that in the news. And I see that you've got in the letter a kind of a reference to going to the COVID website to get the tips that Eric has. You may want to spell that out a little bit more in that letter so people go there to get those tips. Our merchants are frustrated and our unemployed residents are very frustrated. And I think that those two information on those two things in this meeting would be valuable to share. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Nicole. All right. Is there any other public comment out there?
Mr. Chairman, before you call a vote, I do have some amendments I would like to ask regarding the letter based on all the comments that were made.
All right.
When you're ready.
Let me go to the audience one more time and see if there's anyone out there for public comment. Okay, Austin, go ahead and continue.
All right, if the board would so agree, I'll just kind of go down the list here. I'll say it the best I can with my writing here, but I'll start from Eric. Sean had provided some information that I think should be added to the letter regarding substance abuse hotlines, the 297-1267 number. There was discussion about 600 seniors were helped by Story County Senior Services, if I'm correct there. There is $1,000 a month is being provided to Community Chest Incorporated and Story County Senior Services by the Fraternal Order of Eagles.
That's $1,000 divided by two. They're both getting $500.
I can certainly write it that way. Thank you.
I mean, just as a clarification. Because I got the letter, too. So.
Great. And then there is the Community Chest Incorporated providing early youth services and social services. And if I remember, Eric, that was just ages 0 to 5. Would you want a more generalized statement to just say youth in general? And there's a link to that for different groups, for different programs?
Yeah, we're actually providing services for youth from 0 to through high school. Most of those are accessible by liking the Facebook pages of the different age groups that we have. Specifically 0 to 5 is we have a specialized case management program that people can participate in.
If you don't mind, Eric, if you sent me a couple links, I could pop those on there if the board does want to make this amendment.
Okay.
And I'd like to just mention in there also that the general no-cost counseling services, just amend that language that's in the letter right now, just to emphasize that. I do have no problem with adding, the transfer station has been a little bit challenging, and getting waste management to open that up has been very important. And it is open, and there's no cost. There's some limitations on that, but I don't have any problem providing a little information on that. I had gotten some reports from our team, as well as community members, of some illegal dumping here in town, such as trash literally just being thrown on the side of the road. That is something that should be added to let people know that is available there. Stop dumping, please. Unemployment challenges and some of the discussion we have here today, and then spelling out Eric's tips on that letter, or just giving a reference to that, I think are good additions to the letter if the board would like. You could approve this letter, but those would be the amended items that would be added.
And then, Austin, I think one more update. I think in the letter you said the health clinic was open for
walk. You did say that, and that needs to be removed and amended. You're correct.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Okay.
People can call. I can give you that number if you missed the number, and that's the number they can call to set up an appointment for telehealth appointments.
Okay. Do you want to? Yes, please.
Yeah, I will.
Austin, this is Laura.
Go ahead, Laura.
If I can interject one thing, I'm not sure if Stacy's still on. I know it's just about time to serve lunch, so I'm not sure if she's still on. But I would double-check that 600 number. I believe it was 600 people for the food closets, not 600 seniors specifically, but 600 people. Okay. So I would verify that.
I will. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Any other comments out there? All right.
So, Mr. Chairman, the letter would look and feel as if it does now, and then those items will be amended and adjusted as just summarized.
Very good. So, my fellow commissioners, comfortable with the changes made to this, or the additions, I should say?
Chairman, this is Jay Carmona. I am comfortable.
Lance Yaman as well.
All right. With that said, Commissioner Carmona, would you like to motion to approve?
It'd be my pleasure. I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the enclosed letter to Story County residents and businesses regarding actions the county is taking to protect and assist its citizens during the COVID-19 emergency. And this letter will include the noted modifications.
All right. It's been moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. At this time, we're going to move on to item number 13. This is discussion for possible action, approval of business license, second readings. Mr. Osborne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Community Development Department does recommend approval. Hold on a second. I know they recommend approval, but I'm seeing an issue with the report here. They're recommending an approval of all of the business licenses. I know there's several of them. They are not shown here in my packet, but I have reviewed them, and they are to be approved at second readings.
Is there more than two? I have two in my agenda item.
Austin, right. Marshall, do you want to read those into the record?
Yeah, please, thank you.
Yes, I will. The first one is Hexagon Meteorology Incorporated, and the second one is Staffing Technical Services Incorporated.
Correct.
Okay. So can I get a motion? Let me open this up first. Is there any public comment regarding these items to be approved for the second reading? Hearing none, can I get a motion to approve?
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the second reading of business licenses A and B.
Second your motion.
It's been moved in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, at this time we'll open it up for public comment. Anyone who wishes to speak, please go ahead and state your name clearly and loudly, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes. So we're open. Hearing no comments, we're going to adjourn this meeting. And then if we could take maybe a 10-minute recess, and then we're going to re-adjourn in closed session for labor union negotiations. All right, we're adjourned. We'll see you on Cinco de Mayo. Keep your social distancing. Wash your hands often. And stay home, okay? We'll see you in 2 weeks.